Today we have the great privilege of celebrating all of the saints in heaven. This is such an important feast for us because we look at the great saints of the church. There are about 8,000 or so of them that are canonized at this point. And then we look at our own self and we think, there's no hope. I'm not like them. I don't know if I could ever be like them. But then we look at what we heard in the first reading. And there was a multitude from every nation and race and tribe and tongue and people, which no one could even count. It was so massive. So we're not talking just about 8,000 who are canonized. Today we're talking about all the people who have made it to heaven, those who are praying for us, those who have gone before us, those who may even be greater saints than the ones that we're aware of. It's just because the way that they live their lives, a lot of people didn't know anything about them. Or nobody has bothered to try to bring forth their cause for canonization. You think about it. Maybe your great-grandma was a phenomenal person, a holy person, a great saint. But do you have the time and the know-how and the ability to do all the work that would be necessary to be able to get her canonized? Probably not. So she might be higher than some of the saints that we know. But nobody even knows about her. That's what we're celebrating today. All those holy souls, those beautiful people who lived their faith in Christ and now have gone to be with him. But we ask ourselves again that question, even when we, as I posed it before, when we think about all of the great saints that we know about, and we think, I'm not like that. So is there any hope? And the answer, of course, is absolutely. So number one, we look at the second reading where we heard that we are God's children now. We need to let that sink in. We've all heard that hundreds and hundreds of times. Do we care? Does it go in one ear and out the other? You are a son or a daughter of God. Not just you were created by God. You are a member of Jesus Christ. You are a son or daughter of God. Remember, the people of Israel are the people of God. What a privilege to be the people of God. But you are a child of God, not just the people of God. We are children of God. That is exponentially greater than just being part of the people of God. And we just shrug it off like it's no big deal. It's the biggest deal in the world. And we just act like it's nothing. That's why we need to let it sink in, because it's the reality and the truth of who we actually really truly are, who God has made us to be. It's not something we did by ourselves. It's certainly not because we were so wonderful that he didn't have anybody better to choose. It is purely a gift because he loves us. So we start with that point. We are the children of God. But Jesus told us what that would require. He said, be holy, because God is holy. And if we are going to be children of God, we have to be like our Heavenly Father. So it means we have to practice charity, because that's what Jesus told us. He said, God lets the sun rise on the good and the bad, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. God doesn't say, well, because you're not doing so well, I'm not going to let the sun shine on your yard today. He lets the sun shine on all of us. He lets the rain fall on all of us. So the judgment comes at the end. And so it will be with us, which means we can't be making the judgments now about other people because we don't know where their soul is. Do we even know where ours is, becomes the question. So we hear in the gospel reading the Beatitudes, and we see in that the various ways that people have become saints. And in these, you will probably find at least one of them that fits you. None of us have all of them. But based on our personality, you're going to be able to say, you know, that one fits me. Or maybe there are two or three that'll fit. And we can begin to work with those. But objectively, as we look at things, we can even bring it down to a simpler way. Over the years, the saints have taught us that there are three things that we can look at. Number one, are we striving to live a moral life? We know what the teachings of the church are with regard to morality. Are we trying to live that? The Ten Commandments of God. Number two, are we praying? What does our prayer life look like? Are we really striving to grow in holiness? To become holy means to become more like God. Is that what we want? We're made in His image and likeness, but do we want to become more like Him? And then do we frequent the sacraments? Do we go to confession? Do we receive Holy Communion? Are we regularly receiving the sacraments that we need to be able to build up our spiritual life? We look at some of the saints, even the great ones, and we recognize that they didn't all start out as saints. There are a few. You've got the ones that are the babies that, you know, did extraordinary things. You got people like Saint Therese of Lisieux. She decided when she was 3 years old that she wanted to be a saint. I look at that and go, really? Give me a break. I didn't even know what a saint was when I was 3 years old, let alone choosing to become one. But most of them were more like us. There was a point in their lives where there was a conversion, where there was a deepening of their faith or a turning toward Christ. Now, obviously, the fact that you're here, there's already that turning toward Christ. But if you look at yourself and ask, what would happen if I were to die tonight? If I were to stand before the Lord tonight, what would my judgment be like? If we look at that and go, gulp, it might not be quite the way I'd like it to be. Then pray and ask God for a deeper conversion. That's what we need, is the grace to grow deeper, to get that turned completely. So again, like I said, the fact you're here, you're already turned toward Christ, but are we turned completely to Him? And that's what we want to be able to work at, get ourselves completely turned to the Lord so that we're truly serving Him, we're truly loving Him, and that way we can do everything out of love for God and love for neighbor. That's what a saint is. So it doesn't necessarily mean you'll be out there doing phenomenal things. Maybe it will. We'll see what God wants to do with you. As I've told you many times, where we're headed here in the next little bit, we are going to see the greatest saints the world has ever known in general. Again, we've got Our Lady and Saint Joseph and a few people like that. We're not going to be any greater than they are, obviously. But in general, when we look at those 8,000 that I talked about before, we are going to see saints that are way beyond them. St. Louis de Montfort, when he talks about it, says, these saints that God is going to raise up, he said, they will tower over the other saints the way that a cedar of Lebanon towers over a shrub. Think about some of our great saints. St. Louis de Montfort is saying they're going to be like shrubs compared to what God's going to do with the people like you and me. That's pretty amazing. Do we want to be part of it? Do we want to be saints? Do we want that holiness? Do we really want to live our lives for Jesus Christ? That's what all of us can look at. Because that's the invitation. I can guarantee you right now, as we talk about all the saints in heaven, as we heard about in the opening prayer, they are praying for us. They've gone to heaven, but they haven't abandoned us on earth. They're praying for us because they want us to be with them. But more than that, when we look at what St. Paul tells us in his letter to the Hebrews, he says, we're surrounded by this cloud of witnesses. They're cheering us on as we have to fight the battle. They're there with us. So we can call on their help. These are holy souls. These are people who have already lived it. As we heard in the first reading, these are the ones who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That's what we're trying to do now. Because it's said about them, these are the ones who have survived the period of great distress. Well, that's where we're headed. It's not exactly a cakewalk right now, but compared to what's coming, we're going to look back at these days and go, wow, it was so easy back then. But that's beside the point. The grace is going to be there. Remember what St. Paul said, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. We live in the most sinful society ever in human history. That means we also live in the time where the most grace is available for all of us. So it's right there for our choosing, if we want it, if we are willing to avail ourselves of it. So like I said, pray and ask God for a deeper conversion. Ask him for a greater love. Ask him to help you to be able to live the faith for our blessed Lord. Because ultimately that's what it's all about. We live in a time, and we need to be clear about this. It is about good and evil. This isn't about conservatives and liberals. This isn't about whatever kind of distinction they're trying to make and all the division they're trying to cause. That's not what this is about. This is about good versus evil. That's why we're going to see the greatest saints ever. Because we live in the most evil time ever. And it's going to get a lot worse coming quickly. So buckle up. But as you buckle up, turn to the Lord. Recognize we cannot do this by ourselves. We aren't going to become saints by ourselves. Try as hard as you can. You're not going to make yourself into a saint. It's only by the grace of God. So pray, strive to live that moral life, receive the sacraments, and really earnestly ask God for that deeper conversion to turn your heart 100% to be able to love and to serve our blessed Lord.